customers today expect a seamless experience. So, hey, imagine this. What if every time a customer walked into your dealership or made a call, you already knew exactly what to expect, armed with the data on their history and sentiments? So I'm not talking about a customer data platform, but a customer data experience platform. Now that's the kind of difference that can elevate both your business and their journey, creating a better relationship that lasts longer. And that is the inside track for today's episode. So let's get to it.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Inside Track presented by Call Review. My name is Eric Glass. I am the Associate Vice President of Product Marketing here. My co-host Kurt is traveling today, so he's not going to join us, but that's okay. We will try to endeavor to make it through one of these without Kurt and his energy. But I am joined today by two phenomenal guests, Seth Parker, the Associate Vice President of Product here at Call Review, and then Ilyav Moshe, the Chief Product Officer and co-founder of Fullpath. See, we got through that. We did okay. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How are you both?
Doing good. Good to be here, Eric.
Awesome. So, Ilyav, did you make it to NADA this year?
Barely. But we made it. It was quite a trip. We actually were traveling from across Atlantic, coming from Israel through JFK, and then like everything went
nuts. But you made it.
We made it. Actually, we ended up driving from Houston 9 hours in a car, in a Wagoneer. So actually, a nice feature came out of it.
It took you 9 hours to get there from Houston.
Yeah, it's like all highways were like shut down.
And that's crazy.
Side roads.
Because I ended up driving from Austin, and it took me about 8 hours to get here. But I didn't. I know all the I'm very Texan, so I know all the country back roads. So I avoided I-10 the entire way and went up north and weaved through. I probably should not have been driving at 3 a.m. in the pitch black Texas north. But anyway, that's all right. And then great. So we made it to NADA. What did you think of the show this year?
So first of all, we will all remember this NADA. It was quite an experience. But for those who were there, I think, again, maybe low attendance, but I think all in all, it was very, again, for us at least, it was a successful show.
Yep.
Definitely when it comes to meeting with the market, meeting with a lot of business development, a lot of good energy. Like, it's always good to be at an ADA.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I think I agree with the show. And then, Seth, I'm going to talk to you real quick. Seth and I were both there. I think, while the attendance was low, I felt like the conversations this year were much more in depth and very, very, very lucrative, in a lot of different ways. Seth, what do you think about that? And then we'll get into it.
Yeah, I thought we had a lot of good conversations. Definitely felt like the folks that were there were interested in having some deeper conversations. A lot of interesting solutions, to see out there at NADA this year. Definitely saw the AI push in earnest this year. It really felt like we had turned a corner from it being maybe a kind of a skeptical thing to it really just being, now it's just baked in that, hey, you're going to be using this. So it was an interesting shift as we looked around at NADA this year.
Yep. Awesome. And Seth, I can't not mention this, and I'm very sorry. My condolences go out to you on your Chiefs performance last night. It was rough. It was rough.
It was hard to watch. I'm wearing black in mourning. So.
You're wearing black as you're in mourning right now. You're in mourning. I'm not sure what happened to the O-line on the Chiefs last night. But I will say this: the internet has been very hilarious this morning watching the memes come through with what happened. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and transition, because as much as I love to talk about NADA and just the Super Bowl, we're not here to talk about those things today with both of you. I feel we could have a good conversation around us that in this group. I don't want to waste the audience's time. I want to get into it. So we're here to talk about leveraging data to create a seamless and personalized customer journey, which I think is a huge, huge topic. And we talked about a lot about AI on the last couple of episodes. But really, today we are getting more and more and more hyper-connected, right? I mean, I think about how I use my technology on a daily basis. You know, I've got my phone set up, so it's feeding me all of my things that I need to do on a daily basis. And there's now this expectation that everything is going to be seamless and personalized almost at every touch point, right? And we flip that on its ear a little bit and focus specifically on our industry and how we can harness that power to meet these expectations. That's really what we're here to talk about today. We got five different topics we're going to go through, and we're going to get your both of your opinions on those. And I've got a couple of questions I'm going to ask you both, and then we'll just kind of go from there. Does that sound good?
That's wrong.
Perfect. All right. So firstly, we're going to talk about the power of the data in automotive, right? And we hear a lot about data being key to a better customer experience. And I feel like, and I've been doing this now in the demand generation marketing space, you know, I've been in the space for 20 years, not from the automotive industry. And anyway, and I remember the beats that we took, right? There was a time period before things we take for granted, the Eloquas and the Marketos and the Salesforce marketing clouds and stuff like that, they didn't exist, right? So it was all just buying lists and emailing lists and then Web 2.0, right? I lived through all their those eras, and I see, yeah, you're nodding your head. You remember the days before we had all this automation, and it was great.
Yeah.
But what is all of this data? How is it key to a better customer experience, and what does it really mean for dealerships? Let's start there. So, Ilyav, I'll start with you.
Yeah. So you know the saying, data is king. And I think that now in the era of AI, we feel it even more strongly. So I would say that your AI is as good as your data.
Yep.
So anyone who's looking to create a coherent experience, customer experience, anyone who's looking to improve their marketing, improve their funnels, anyone who's basically looking to compete these days needs to first establish a good solid data layer, because this is a foundation. It's a foundation almost to any activity that the dealership is doing. So, you know, aggregating your data into one place, not have it siloed, make sure that you connect everything, make sure that you clean it, enrich it, keep it fresh, ongoing. And we'll touch probably later on APIs and integrations. But again, this is a foundation. This is the starting point for any dealerships who would like to do any activity with their customers. It starts from getting your data right.
Yep. Agreed. Seth.
Yeah, I think a lot of what Ilyav said makes ton of sense and resonates a lot with what we've seen, you know, at Call Review, particularly just that idea that your AI implementations, however those look and whatever those are only going to be as good as the data you're able to supply. We're kind of in that maybe early stage still with AI, where it's kind of handling basic things that don't require as much knowledge or background on the customer. But I think especially as we move into the next cycle of use cases, you're going to see it be really critical for AI to have context on what the customer has done with your dealership previously, what they've communicated about, where they, you know, how are they interacting with your marketing or your website, et cetera. And so solutions that help bring that together and make that possible are really important.
So both of what you both said brings an old adage from the video production world, right? That I think about when filming content, which is garbage in, garbage out, right? So I think that sums up what it is nicely. And we roll in and we think about how we can get around some of these challenges. And I don't want to dive too many into, because I think the biggest point is from the one of the biggest mistakes a dealership can make, Ilyav, you said it very eloquently, you have to make sure your data is all in order, right? If your house is out of order and you go and throw AI on top of it, the AI is not going to know what to do. It's not going to understand that. And I think both of us, both Call Review and Fullpath, do a very bang up job of us on the front end, you know, making sure that call data is there, but then you guys looking down at the lower level and making sure all of that customer, it's one customer, right? It's consolidated, and you know what that one customer is across the board. So moving in kind of to the next subject, I want to spend a little bit of time here, right? Dealerships are not Amazon. We know that they're not any online. So what are some realistic ways that dealers can really start understanding these interactions and personalizing without overcomplicating too much on what they're doing, and maybe some quick wins or low hanging fruit that they can look at?
Yeah. So I would say, first of all, choose carefully your partners. I think, again, being in the industry, serving dealers for quite some time, we know that there are quite a lot of vendors, providers that provide the services. You would like to make sure, again, coming from the understanding that data is an infrastructure, it's a foundation, you would like to make sure that at least you get that right. So you want to aggregate your data, you want to work with vendors that can contribute to your data layer. You want to work with vendors that can be integrated and leverage the data that you have collected and invested on. So again, like mentioning here, the partnership, the integration that that we both did on between Fullpath and CoreView, the ability to make to take any vendor and think about that vendor not just on the activation, but actually as someone who can contribute to the data layer. This is something that is very, very, very important. We can also mention here the activation. Like, you would like to make sure that you're capitalizing. You're not just aggregating data. Mm-hmm.
Seth, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of echoing what we were just talking about there, I think it's really important to bring your data together, right? It's really hard to personalize things if you are looking at data points in separate systems that are all kind of siloed from each other. So solutions that help you get a more holistic picture of what's happening with your customer, it's really kind of like the initial step or the lowest hanging fruit when you talk about personalization, which is, can you just have the context of what I've actually done with your business recently when we talk? That's the foundational layer that is still a lot of dealerships haven't even quite reached that yet, right? Where one person from the dealership interacts with the customer and then a different person interacts, and it's clear the left hand and the right hand maybe don't fully know what the other one is doing. And so just getting to that first step of, hey, when I talk to you as a customer, I understand the context of what you've been doing with my business, how you've interacted with us, and I don't come off sounding like I'm repeating something or asking a question that's already been answered. So I think that shift towards holistic understanding is really a powerful tool to start that journey towards customization and personalization.
So it's interesting. You both brought up a point to make me think of something. It almost, and just coming from the outside world, right, of not being, you know, I've been in this industry and I've been in the auto industry now for the year. I've been at little year plus 3-4 months I've been at CoreView now. And it almost seems like there's a shift where I feel like a lot of dealers are not, they haven't traditionally paid attention to IT, or not IT, but their, your point, Ilya, of their infrastructure, right? And we're seeing a lot of partners come in, Fullpath, CoreView, many others, where that is becoming a hyper focus. And a lot of the larger groups, at least that I'm, you know, that I've talked to, and you know, Seth, I know you and you guys have talked to. Do you feel like there's a new role emerging inside of a dealership where there's going to be somebody sitting at the executive level inside the dealership that is focused on this with the GM? Because traditionally, when you talk to a GM of a dealership, they're not worried about this thing. Like, if you take another industry, for example, like the tech industry, where they have their CIO who's hyper-focused on this. Do you guys see that as like an emerging trend coming in the next couple of years, where you start to have that real role in there that's worried about this infrastructure layer so the GM can focus on what the GM does best? Because a lot of these guys are multi-generational partnerships.
Yeah, I would say that definitely there is a trend that dealers understand more and more the importance of data. There's also the data governance, and there are other aspects to data. I think that owners, maybe more so than the GMs, meaning if you have someone who's strategizing the dealership and thinking years to come, you would see this in big groups that they are thinking about what's my data strategy. So yep. Questions like this. Obviously, GMs are always looking at, like, show me the money. what's in it for me. I would like to make sure that we're closing this month or this quarter strong, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And this goes also to how we're thinking about data. I think that in general, if we're looking at emerging positions or responsibilities inside the dealership, then yes, data would be something that we should expect someone to manage the data. I'm not sure that they need to do this on a daily basis, but at least sure. be responsible and make sure that we have what we need and we can supply the need of the different stakeholders at the dealership. So yeah, I would say definitely it's something that we should expect to see more and more.
So my next question then is bring us back to the personalization at scale topic is, you know, once you let's just assume that we're talking to dealerships that have the data infrastructure there, they've gotten their settings, you know, and everything dialed in the way they want it. How is AI, and Seth, I'll start with you on this one. How is AI really going to help personalize and make closing deals or getting opportunities and people in the door better and easier for dealerships?
Yeah. Well, I think kind of like I had alluded to earlier, you know, the agentic aspect of AI, I think, is going to be really huge for not just dealerships, but really economy wide, right? But in the dealership world, you know, this initial layer of AI interactions is really focused on, particularly when you come to the phones, how do you get somebody just to pick up the phone, get an AI to answer the phone so that you have a better experience of not just sitting on hold or waiting while the phone rings for 10 minutes and then hanging up, right? And enabling AI to kind of help perform maybe some basic tasks, answer some questions. That's all kind of like where we're at now. The future, I think, is going to be that you have agents that are empowered, again, with that holistic understanding of the customer, where they're at in their journey, where they're at in their life cycle of buying, where have they been interacting with your business, whether that's digitally or in person, right? And being able to then leverage that data to interact with the customer and help guide them through the buying process in meaningful ways. Mm-hmm. That personalization, I think, really, as we've been saying, comes from the ability to centralize that data and create accurate, holistic pictures of what is this customer doing? Who are they? What have I done with them in the past?
Yep. Agreed. Ilya, have any thoughts there?
Yeah, I can agree more. I think we will see AI, on several fronts. So definitely, if you're looking at the data layer structuring, improving the data layer, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the activation, I think this is where it's actually starting to get interesting, and maybe this is show me the money, so to speak. So data mining, generating the insights, automated audience building, and then activation. So leveraging the data at scale, doing those personalized interactions yet at scale. So you can think about it almost as a segment of one with an AI that is tailoring and crafting the messages to every shopper at the right context. So as soon as you have the data right, then it's, this is when the party starts. So just unleash the AI and the data and start capitalizing when it comes to the activation.
So talking about the data and making sure that the activation is seamless, right? So where are some of the biggest friction points you're seeing, Ilya, of the dealerships should be focusing on and eliminating some of those to create a smoother experience?
So first of all, you want seamless integration. Today, when we're looking at data sets, even clean data sets, the data is great, but you don't have a way to automate. You don't have a way to leverage the data seamlessly. So if you find yourself that you need to export every week, you need to export a list, and then to do a lot of manual work, it become tedious. You're not actually able to take it to the next level. So again, you want to make sure that the activation is interconnected to the data. The activation can go and do the data fetch, data mining, data analysis, and also make the interactions. But there's supposed to be a feedback loop. So you also want to make sure that those interactions are enriching constantly your data layer, and then you get that cycle, and then you right. get the automations. So I would say that today it's a challenge because not every we live in a market without, in an industry without standards, mm-hmm. for the majority, for the vast majority. So the issue is that to find three vendors that can interact with your data layer is not an easy task.
So Seth, I'm going to flip that to you now, but I'm going to put a different, I'm going to kind of glean the cube a little bit, man. That's a reference. Do you feel what we're doing with that data layer and how we feed that data in there, how do you feel that can help eliminate friction points for the dealer on what Ilya was just saying?
Yeah, I think the cool thing about the capabilities CallReview has, particularly as it relates to being able to give that data into a CRM or a CDP, is we have such a rich set of insights, right? And alerts. And, you know, it's one thing to know, hey, this customer called, maybe they set an appointment, you know, here's who talked to them, all good foundational metadata and insights about a call. When you go a few steps deeper and say, okay, well, actually, they also were talking about pricing, or there was actually some frustration, or I think there might be a CSI issue here with this customer. That next layer of insight gives the ability to start to do more and action more on the data that you're pulling into these centralized systems, like a full path, right? Like a CDP. So that richness of data, I think, actually helps you open up and unlock additional use cases that you can't necessarily achieve with just a real basic level of insights,
right,
on something like call tracking, as an example.
Yeah, I would even expand on this. If you're thinking how dealerships are today leveraging the integration between CallReview and FullPath, so a dealer can, based on the call tracking, get a lot of data input into the CDP. And then, because you have your marketing automation connected to the CDP, all of a sudden, you're getting an email that is relevant to the phone call that you just had, or maybe the next, maybe then you're being opted out of an email campaign because you just said or indicated that you're not in market in the conversation. So again, you get that, everything is connected. So you get that influence, and again, everything should happen seamlessly. You don't need to go and add this shopper specifically after the phone call to a bucket list. Oh,
right.
I
was going to say, it all kind of goes back to what we were saying just about, hey, when you're talking to me as a customer, make it seem like you actually know me, right? And that data being there, to your point, Ilya, being able to action on it, right? And affect where, what communications you do get or maybe don't get, that starts to make it feel a lot more like a seamless process and like, hey, you actually know me as a customer and I'm not just, let's be honest, another number in your system and you're just kind of blasting me with different communications that maybe don't actually relate to me or pertain to me and where I'm at in my buying journey.
So that's interesting, Seth, and that rolls me to my next question. How do you feel, and Ilya, I'll come to you with this as well, how do you feel customer expectations are going to evolve over the next few years? And, you know, what's going to separate the dealerships that win from those that struggle?
I would say that those dealers who are able to connect all the dots will get the will probably stay. It's more than just getting the edge. I think it's a requirement, meaning our customers are expecting, car shoppers are expecting that level of service. I'm expecting that if I talked with the car dealership, and it doesn't matter if I spoke with them over chat or if it was over the phone or if I was present at the store, I do expect the dealership to recognize me and not to start the conversation at every touch point from the beginning. So dealerships who will get to that point that they're able to connect all the dots and then leverage it on all fronts to give that shopper experience, obviously will get the edge.
Yeah, I think that's a huge play. Seth, you got anything to add there?
No, I think specifically if you think about interactions via telephone, which really are some of the lowest in the funnel, you know, on average, right? It's one of the last touch points you'll have with the customer before they come in or before they actually purchase. So it's usually low in the funnel. I think there's going to be an increasing expectation that I don't have to wait around to get an answer. I can get to somebody, or I can get to a powerful AI that can help me with something or get me to the next step in the buying journey. And the expectation, I think, will definitely lean towards dealerships that can adopt that stuff and and just ensure that getting a hold of a dealership through the phone is a easy, seamless process, which today it isn't always. So I think to the point of who will win, yeah, I think it's going to be one of the aspects will be dealers that can adopt that kind of framework and experience on the phones are going to definitely be more likely to win the market.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the opening comment, right? Is making sure right now that your data layer is where you need it and you have one single source of truth that is pulling everything to drive that. So I know we only got a couple minutes left here. So a couple more questions for you both, and then we'll get it wrapped up. So all we know there's a ton of data, right? They have, in some cases, I've talked to a dealership at NADA who he feels like they felt like there's just too much data. They don't know what to do with it. And so they end up sitting on the reports instead of actually using those to drive change. So how do you guys both think that, dealerships can use what they're seeing in the data to actually move and institute change? And then if they were going to focus on one key metric right now, in y'all's opinion, what should it be?
I would say, as a rule of thumb, don't connect data if you're not going to use it, meaning make sure that your data is actually actionable and you can, meaning anticipate the action before you make the connection. Don't invest just for the sake of investing. We're not in the BI business, or at least the dealership is not in the BI business. They're not excited about data for the sake of data. They're not data scientists. They're looking to drive sales. They're looking to get service hours. They're looking to drive business. And I think in that sense, making sure that action comes first, and then everything serves that. So I would mostly focus on how can data be translated into marketing activities, which will result then in leads and sales, obviously.
Yep. I love that. Translate data.
Yeah, I think that, there's a limit to Ilya's point of what is worth investing in if you're not going to be able to take action on it.
Right.
There are, there's tools out there that even without going into crazy levels of data integration can still provide value. What comes to mind for me is the level of alerting capabilities that Call Review can provide. It gives you the ability as a dealer to really jump in and understand, hey, this last conversation that happened on the phone, here's an issue here. I need to jump in here and get involved in this way. But over time, I think being able to leverage, like you've kind of talked about, that level of insight, those kind of alerts on top of the other rich data that exists in a CDP, that's where there's some really cool stuff can happen, because then you're informing an alert on, hey, you should go take action, not just on this one conversation, but the context of maybe the last five conversations, right? So there's some really exciting possibilities there as we move forward.
And then you're not just to round that point off, Seth, I think it's interesting is we're moving into an era of where sales and marketing are traditionally reactive, right? To where now we're starting to be able to anticipate the need of the buyer before the buyer even asks for it. Mm-hmm. And really create a customer experience that is next level, where you've got all this data, it's informed you on the last 15 conversations or whatever it is. You have a single record of this customer's interaction with your dealership all across the board. And now you know, to your point earlier, Seth, whether you know exactly where they are in the buyer journey, you've been fed the data, and now you know what they need before they even ask for it. You can create a wow experience for them and really make that impression where it gets them through the door and ultimately putting the signature on the line and driving off your lot, which I think that's the most exciting part of it for me. So with that, moving into our last couple of questions here for you both. We talked a lot about data and some of the AI stuff, but where do you guys see emerging trend that you think will have the biggest impact on the data in the next few years? And I know AI is the big focus right now, when we look at both of our customer bases and things like that. But beyond that and beyond the data, what do you guys think is coming around the pipe?
I would say Gen AI is definitely one of the highlights. So we're starting to see solutions that are based on the next generation of AI. Gen AI, generative. I think that this allows us to not only take an action, but also drive the action or orchestrate the journey. Mm-hmm. So, Eric, like you said, we have so much data, so we can not just be reactive, we can be proactive. We can know and design the flow of the shopper even before the shopper knows it. So again, there are so many tools, and I think that Gen AI has so many aspects and the utilities that we can develop using this technology is, again, we didn't even scratch the surface with this technology.
Yeah, I think there's obviously, if you look down the road long term, you know, there's definitely the possibility of automating a lot of tasks and use cases within a dealership with, you know, agentic AI. However, I do think there's an interesting spot in the next couple of years, particularly where we're going to be able to see AI help empower almost kind of quote unquote bionic salespeople, where you're making a salesperson really, really effective. And do you end up having maybe fewer salespeople at your store? Possibly. But the ability to leverage AI to make those salespeople really effective, really efficient, really fast at how they can interact with customers and move customers through the buying process, I think that will be a really interesting spot and some exciting kind of capabilities that could be brought to bear. And kind of an interesting story, too. It's not all just about, you know, fully replacing humans. I think being able to kind of augment human capabilities with AI is a really powerful story that we're going to see emerge in the next couple of years here.
That's awesome.
Think of a co-pilot, for a salesperson at the dealership. Well, they have at their fingertips, they have this powerful tool that can help them structure the pitch, access data, process it, analyze, and again, as a supporting mechanism. So it's going to be fun. Like it's definitely an exciting times to be around technology.
Yeah, I think about, and I bring this up, like, because I'm such a sci-fi nerd, right? I want my own Jarvis. I want to walk into my office and I want my own tool that I can talk to and have a conversation, say, hey, Jarvis, go do this for me while I'm writing this over in the background. And then he, you know, it brings me the data and then allows me to make action on that. So last question for you both, and then we'll wrap it up. And Ilya, we'll start with you. If you give dealerships one piece of advice in closing about how to improve their data, what would it be?
I would say choose, again, maybe it's going to the beginning, choose your vendors. Be careful with who you marry, especially when you're connecting the data. And then always, always ask the questions. Again, I encourage anyone to think like a GM. What's in it for me? Show me the money. Make sure that you're not investing in whatever, some sci-fi dream. Make sure that you're driving your business. Definitely what technology is, what data is, what the activation is, you should get it all.
Awesome. Seth?
Yeah, I think maybe the piece of advice I would have is don't rest on having siloed data, right? Obviously, you got to be intentional about how you combine it, but valuable data that's siloed is exponentially more valuable when you can bring it together in meaningful ways. And so don't sleep on that fact that there's real value in combining your data and being able to do more with it when it's not siloed anymore.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. Thank you both for joining us on another episode of The Inside Track. Make sure you go check us out on YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, and everywhere else that we are. Again, this is Eric Glass for Call Review, and thank you, Ilyav from Fullpath, for joining us, and Seth from Call Review as well. And we will see you on the next episode. Take care.